Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we talk about all the different kinds of apocalypses.
We also give you some tips and tricks on how to survive.
And find out all the different uses we come up with for a condom full of water.
Ew.
After this.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your MRE-sized podcast.
Take a bite out of that.
Today, we're going to talk about the apocalypse.
Bum, bum, bum.
But first, the news. Our news is brought to you today by Geekway Homes.
Hey, if I wanted to buy a house and I'm a geek, what would you recommend, Guy?
Well, I would recommend that you could get your home the great way. Get it the geek way. At geekwayhomes.com.
Oh, so it's like a geek that sells houses, which makes it perfect for a geek looking to buy a house.
Exactly. He knows exactly what you need.
And where would I find that again?
Geekwayhomes.com. And now for the news. So you may have noticed last week that I rattled off a whole bunch of numbers and letters, and I'll explain exactly what happened with that. So India, for reasons that I still have not quite figured out, has decided not to name their rockets.
What?
So anytime you do Indian rockets, they're just a whole bunch of letters and numbers.
They could have named them after curries.
I know. It could have been awesome. But for some reason, they don't. So every time I've got Indian lunches, like I did last time.
Oh, man, I love going to lunch at an Indian place.
I know. Indian lunches are great.
They have a buffet.
So just so you're all aware, that's what was going on with this string of numbers and letters. I had Indian lunches. Sorry. But it was very tasty. Okay. Also, Tiangong-1, which was a Chinese space station, finally returned and crashed into the South Pacific.
Aw.
As its uncontrolled reentry happened, which was unpleasant. That was an interesting experience. Thanks, China. SpaceX launched CRS-14, which was the first time that they had launched a combination Falcon and Dragon that were both reused. Mm-hmm. So both of them have launched before, both their capsule and their rocket. And they landed their rocket, so that rocket will even be able to go up a third time, although it's a block three, so
yay, reusable
it really
things.
Won't be able to do it. Again, their block fives, however, have 100 launches capable.
That's awesome, though, because then we can recycle.
I know. We're totally recycling them.
Yay!
And then Hubble found a little blue star this last week that was very fascinating. Okay. What's so interesting about the little blue star, you may ask?
Yeah.
It was called Icarus, and it was just 4.4 billion years after the Big Bang was so it's a very, very distant star that they have found. They found it by discovering two lensed objects that passed in front of each other, a supernova named Refsdal, R-E-F-S-D-A-L, which they were looking at lensed through a galactic cluster, MAX-J1149. And they were looking at the supernova when they discovered this third object between the two, or behind the two objects. So with a combination of the two allowed them to see a star that was so far away that it literally was just after the birth of the universe by lensing those two objects. So they used Einstein lenses on both objects to pass through to see this star 4.4 billion years after the Big Bang.
That's insane.
So that's my little block of amazing.
Okay. So coming out April 13th is a movie based off of a video game called Rampage.
Yay, Rampage! It's not based off of Archer?
Archer?
Rampage!
No, it's not. So it's rated PG-13 for sequences of violence, action, and destruction, brief language, and crude gestures. Quick, everybody give each other crude gestures, yay, since the audience can't see us. All right, so side note, last Friday I was kind of sick and I started to lose my voice, and my voice got really deep, so I pre-recorded my little movie voice thing for this. So you two don't get to hear it yet. I'm going to edit it in. So we'll just pause for a minute for the dramatic voice reading.
Primatologist Davis Okoye, a man who keeps people at a distance, shares an unshakable bond with George, the extraordinarily intelligent silverback gorilla who has been in his care since birth. But a rogue genetic experiment gone awry transforms this gentle ape into a raging monster. To make matters worse, it's soon discovered there are other similarly altered alpha predators. As these newly created monsters tear across North America, destroying everything in their path, Okoye teams with a discredited genetic engineer to secure an antidote. Fighting his way through an ever-changing battlefield, not only to halt a global catastrophe, but to save the fearsome creature that was once his friend.
And there you go.
So I have some gaming news. Amazon Game Studios has officially stated that they have canceled Breakaway. They're going to work on other projects. And this is really sad because they actually had a beta test, it's a public alpha. And that was September 28th of last year. So it was a 4-on-4 sports brawler. It was aimed to combat games like Overwatch, Rocket League, League of Legends, those kind of things. But they have canceled it to focus on other projects, which is really sad because they really haven't come out with anything substantial enough in the gaming industry to get their foot in the door.
Right.
And the biggest thing is that they have gotten some big name designers. They got Kim Swift, who was the director of the little game called Portal.
Portal.
And Clint Hocking, who worked on Far Cry 2, and both of them left Amazon without making a product. So that's really upsetting that, you know, they had this game out there and now we have nothing. Guys, get it together. Like, Amazon is focusing, I think, on too much at once right now.
Right.
We have Amazon Now here in Colorado, so you can get products like to your doorstep, which I was already spoiled with 2-day shipping, and now things are worse. And they have, you know, Sprouts can deliver food to your door through Amazon Now as well. They have a distribution center here as well, and there are rumors that we might get their next big headquarters, but we have to wait and see on that. So it seems
Sprouts can deliver
so much at once that they just can't keep up. In the gaming industry, you have to be very, very focused and very, very competitive. And Amazon is a retailer, so they need to get that stuff together first and then focus on their gaming.
I think if they work as cells, if they can have their own little video game division that focuses on that, that would be the way that they could overcome that problem.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is, like, you already had an alpha done, so what happened? I want to know the actual story of what happened. Why did this project really get scrapped if you were already in an alpha? That's bad.
Well, you need to write Miss Swift and ask her.
Apparently.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she's no longer with them, so...
But she knows what happened.
Maybe ask Amazon. Amazon, what happened? Let me know.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's the news. So we were going to talk about, what would you do in an apocalypse?
What kind of apocalypse?
There's a lot of them.
There's so many different kinds of apocalypse.
There's ones that could happen and ones that will very much unlikely not happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have always thought that the cat apocalypse was probably never going to happen.
That's what you think.
Yeah, and for your species.
The apocalypse is already kind of happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, the geeks are inheriting the Earth.
Well, the list that I came up with of, like, improbable ones, although alien invasion I wouldn't call super improbable, but I would say just because of the size of space, it is very unlikely.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I wouldn't rule it out. Like, I kind of rule out a zombie apocalypse because, especially an undead zombie apocalypse, if it was a disease
that makes rabid. People undead is kind
they
of
well, not undead, but rabid.
They've proved that that's highly unlikely. And what started the whole like zombie apocalypse kind of theory was the book The Serpent and the Rainbow. There was a, I guess, like a political movement in South America. And like there was a lot of voodoo and mystery in it, but people were poisoning those that didn't agree with fugu, which is blowfish. And so they would appear dead, like their heart would almost stop. They would be out for like a couple days, and so they'd bury them and they'd come back to life. So they called them the rising dead.
Which is enough to make everybody go, hey, zombie.
I am literally freaking terrified of zombies. Like, I'm so glad the zombie apocalypse is not going to happen. Because if it did, it would be chop my head off and bury me in a hole. Very, very deep. So I cannot be eaten because I don't want to deal with
this. Well, there's a lot of flaws with the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to zombie apocalypse later.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to jump right in with that.
Zompocalypse.
Of course,
we have the dinosaur Jurassic Park problem.
Yeah, that could happen.
I'm so excited if that happens. I'm sorry. Like, on the opposite spectrum, I'm super stoked for that one.
Cool.
Because I'm always worried about things with a walnut-sized brain going after me.
Raptors.
Hey, if whales could fly, we would have a totally different structure in our society.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, you think that poop flying out of airplanes is a problem.
So what about the divine judgment? I think I'm screwed in that one.
Oh, the rapture?
Yes.
I'm screwed.
Well, it's not just raptures like one.
You're either talking about raptors or raptures here. Which one are we talking
Both.
About? Okay.
Both.
It could be the raptor raptors.
Righteous dinosaurs.
Nothing worse than righteous dinosaurs.
Like, I just can't see that happening because there's a whole Left Behind series about the people like trying to atone for their sins. Like, I'm sorry, I already don't believe in the Book of Parables written by a bunch of Arabic men.
But there are people that
God
do believe it and actually fear it.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there's also, and it's
fear
there's
Arabic
other religions
men.
Maybe you
that
should live
versions.
Your life instead of worrying about religion.
Well, I don't
YOLO.
Know. There's a movie, This Is the End, which is a bunch of Hollywood actors has.
James Franco.
Seth Rogen
and James Franco. Yeah.
It has a lot of cameos
it's
of stars
so
that get killed.
Funny.
And very not right. So don't let your son watch it.
Gotcha.
So funny, though. I highly guarantee. I recommend
I've seen it
that.
A few times because I love the scene when they're like, Hermione stole all our stuff.
Yeah. Or Emma
sounds
Watson
like a thing.
You.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Emma Watson shows up and she overhears part of a conversation and thinks that they're going to be doing something mean to her. So she comes in and breaks one of their noses and threatens them at like shovel point or whatever and steals all their
shovel
water.
Shovel point.
Yeah.
Runs away.
Takes their water.
Nice.
Smart woman.
Now, more realistic type stuff would be like a pandemic apocalypse.
There's a board game.
Pandapocalypse.
That shows
pandas.
You how quickly a
well,
pandemic
lots of pandas.
Spread.
Well, you got pandas on your knees.
I do have pandas. They're very cute.
They are very they adorable are. Pandas on your knees. Although, that's probably not indicative of a panda apocalypse.
But no, you could twist that around to be like a panda apocalypse since they're having problems breeding pandas. What if humans had the inability to breed and therefore continue on the human race itself?
Yeah, infertility.
That would be a huge problem.
I did not see the movie, but wasn't Seed of Man based on that?
I don't know.
That's the one with Clive Owen.
Because the one that I always remember is I read a book called Girl in the City in high school, and it's everybody over the age of 18 dies.
Yeah, there was a Star Trek episode about that.
It was really cool. I liked it. Of course, there's a Star Trek episode about it.
Star Trek did it first.
No, I'm pretty sure Girl in the City was way before that. It's like Girl Who Saved a City or something like that. It was a really good book. I liked it a lot because she was like 16.
And her name was like, Miri. I'm just saying.
And she was ruling the city out of a high school and they were worried. But once they hit 18, they did live. So spoiler alert. Sorry. Not sorry. Read the book. It's good.
Weird. And in this one, I am sure you know of Guy. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. Bolide impact?
A what?
Oh, yeah. A bolide impact.
Bolide impact.
Yeah,
which is basically
is like
meteor.
A meteor
or
out of the
some
sky?
Kind of small, planetary object.
Yeah,
because of course, if it's a large planetary object, there's no problem. It pretty much isn't an issue.
If that happens, is it that something collides with us and destroys our planet completely, or like throws us off orbit and we die?
Well, it would have to be a not completely thing, because there's no preparing or dealing with that.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be a bolide.
Black hole shows up, swallows us whole, leaves.
You know, Mars collides with the Earth, there's no problem. Nobody worries about that.
No.
Yeah, no matter
it's pretty much over.
No matter how much
so
water
long
you save.
It's for all the fish.
Right. I've got 5 gallons of water and a shotgun. We're good.
We're good. What's that big red thing in the sky?
That's death.
Poof. Hate it when that happens.
And then, of course, there's a EMP apocalypse if all everything just fries. There's another name for that. What was
the apocalypse?
They did that in The End of the World, the last of the Coronado trilogy with Nick Frost and Sean Pegg.
And what's it called?
It's called The End of the World.
Oh, right.
Where they're going through all the pubs because they're trying to make it to the end of the world.
However, the EMP thing is much later.
The robots are all throughout the whole thing because the robots are trying to take over the world.
But that's not an EMP.
Robots.
Right. But then they use an EMP to take out all the technology.
Uh-huh.
At the very end of the film. And so you see them and they're surviving back in medieval times. So.
There's a TV series that didn't do so well too. That I've totally forgotten the name of. But I remember the symbol reminding me of the power symbol from Xbox. Their little symbol. And it was a thing of where you get to actually first episode or two. You see the whatever event it was go off and shut off all the power and how everybody's freaking out and dealing with it.
Gotcha.
Airplanes falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats living together.
Yeah. Chaos.
Pandemonium.
Millennials crying in a corner.
Nothing worse than millennials crying.
So the one thing that a lot of these, pretty much any apocalypse thing, you're going to have some very similar things you're going to do to survive. Mm-hmm. Regardless of if it's an EMP blast, if it is a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, so if you are still alive.
If you're still alive and there's a reason worth having hope, mm-hmm. that then... obviously, you're going to want to get a food supply and water supply.
Those are big. Make sure you maintain sanitation as much as you can.
Yep.
Make sure you
Which means don't do bad things in your food supply and water supply.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I had a toilet. That was
Speaking
our water
of,
supply.
The back of the toilet with the water reservoir, uh-huh. that's a place you can get water from if you're really looking for water.
Really? Is that actually clean?
It's white water.
That water hasn't gotten into the actual toilet part of the water yet.
Is it so that, like, then why do you have a reservoir in your toilet, I guess is my question.
That top part's white water.
It sets there until you flush.
Yeah.
Have you never taken a toilet apart?
I haven't lived.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all white water up there.
I'm only 27.
That's fresh water up in that toilet, up in that top part.
So
unless you're in Japan, at which time it's gray water.
From the water line, it pumps fresh water into the top of the toilet, and when you flush it, it goes down and cycles through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's wasteful.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Because it's not reusing. Because I always like, you know, when you have to lift like the little doohickey in the top of it to get your toilet to actually flush?
Yes.
The little stopper?
Yeah, all that water back there is, you can drink it.
Oh, I always wash my hands after that because I think it's like used.
If you look at any kind of residue that's in there is because your water is hard or anything like that.
Like
that has
mineral,
everything
like
to do
water.
With, yeah, minerals. That has everything to do with what you're drinking
liquid,
out of your faucet.
So it's really minerally.
Yeah.
I can't remember what movie it was, but I remember at a young age seeing like a drug spy thriller where they used that area to hide stuff,
gotcha.
Like guns, drugs.
My biggest thing with water, especially living here in Colorado, and since I vacation in Scotland, we grab a lot of the natural water. You have to be careful and make sure that your source is going down across a lot of different rocks because the charcoal content in the rocks will purify that water, and you have to make sure you're above livestock. So when we're in Scotland hiking around, the guides always tell us go above the sheep to make sure that the sheep droppings aren't in the water that have all the nasty parasites and worms.
I think that that's like my saying in life right now. Be sure you're above the sheep.
Yeah, well. And then, of course, make sure you boil your water.
Make
and,
sure you boil the sheep.
Boil
make,
your
yeah,
water.
Well, of course, especially if you're in Ireland. And there's
always
ways to use plastic. And tarps to catch dew and rain.
Right.
So,
well, we can finally, here in Colorado, we can finally catch our rainwater. Remember, that was a thing for a really long time.
It was illegal,
which is so stupid.
There's a long story behind that.
Okay.
I actually researched it.
But
and it actually makes logical sense if you go back far enough.
Okay.
And it was just one of those, it was a law that makes logical sense.
At
200
the time,
years ago.
But not now.
And it just stayed on the books and stayed on the books and stayed on the books. And then it all just never came off. And then recently it came off because laws go on the books easily, but don't come off the books easily.
Well,
and that's really what it boils down
to. We can collect our own rainwater, which is great.
Yeah. You know what we should do?
What?
We should go collect our own rainwater and come back after this break.
Ooh, water break.
Hi there. I'm Mike Quinn, puppeteer from The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, a lot of the Muppet films, TV shows, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
And we are back. We aren't at Starbucks.
No.
Nope.
We are at the Renaissance Stapleton Hotel in Denver, Colorado, at the Colorado Anime Fest, celebrating their third year.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's a fest about anime.
Yes.
In Colorado.
Yes.
Well, I guess the anime can be anywhere.
But yeah,
the,
it could be.
The fest is in Colorado.
But the fest is definitely
It's one
here.
Of our earliest conventions now here in Colorado, which is kind of nice because I had always hoped the con season would start a little bit earlier. So this is a really nice warm-up to the season.
Yeah.
A lot of good people here. A lot of staffers that I see other places. So very cozy. Nice little con. I like it.
And she means earlier as in earlier in the year.
Yeah. There were still a couple
in,
that we didn't
We're still
get.
In our recording season.
Yeah.
As opposed to in our con season.
Next year, though, I plan on not missing Hexacon.
Which is also in our recording season.
During our recording season.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what threw us off, I think.
Yeah.
I think we just need to set it up that way. You know, if we plan ahead a little bit more, we'll catch everything we want to.
Right.
Yeah. We just missed Hexacon because we dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Nerds, we dropped the ball. We couldn't catch it. So we're talking about apocalypses.
Yay.
Now.
Apocalypses.
Now we're talking about it.
So
apocalypse now.
Do you survive?
I can't hear you over here.
Nope. That's not good.
Okay.
So we were talking about water and finding fresh sources of water. There's always a super gross option that everybody knows, and I'm not going to repeat it because it's gross. Don't do that.
Do you think you could filter the water out of blood?
No.
Because we're mostly water, right?
No. Blood
Ugly
is mostly
bags
oxygen.
Are mostly water.
I don't know.
Red blood cells carry oxygen to other cells.
Yeah, science project.
I think if you were to take your blood and put it in a container, which allowed it to evaporate and then rain out in a different location in condensation, you could probably get away with that.
Salt. I mean, blood is full of iron and...
Like yeah, you'd end up with a whole bunch of
random stuff.
Yeah, you'd end up with a whole bunch of leftover chemicals at the bottom, but yeah, you could.
Mad
you could
science
have,
project. Right
yeah,
there. There are better ways to get water.
Yeah, there are. There's I forget what culture it is, but there's a tribe that drinks a mixture of goat's milk and blood for the protein. Goat's blood and goat's milk.
Okay.
And
oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. That's very interesting. I don't know if I would ever try it, but I would like to know the science behind it.
Yeah, desperate times.
Seems like a problem.
For sure.
So I always thought the best place to hold up, and this was more thinking along the lines, we can get into zombies now if we want, would be like a Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a ton of seeds for growing vegetables. They have the soil, planting soil. They have the lumber and the nails and the equipment to be able to build little gardening areas.
Yep.
You could do all that on the roof of the establishment. So
right.
They've got a lot of landscaping stuff, so you can like make sandbags to try and like deflect some stuff. You could build a fort, essentially,
right.
around your house.
Use the tarps
I can build
a
fort out of
system.
My couch.
Pillows, with pillows?
Yeah.
I don't know if a pillow fort would stop zombies.
Well, zombies are kind of mythological. So the question is, would a pillow fort stop zombies and or unicorns?
I think it might attract unicorns.
That's true.
That's it okay, because the only place you're going to find a unicorn is in Scotland, so...
Zombie
Scottish unicorns?
Yeah. The unicorn is Scotland's national animal.
We're just going to stare at you.
Okay. Silence over!
I thought it was a leprechaun. Oh, wait, that's Ireland.
No, that's Ireland.
What about a unicorn riding I meant to say a leprechaun riding a unicorn, but I like the imagery of a unicorn riding a leprechaun better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That worked. Anyway.
That would be the luckiest thing you've probably ever seen in your life. You should go buy a lotto ticket and
Yeah, if you ever see
a unicorn
riding a leprechaun.
Yeah. I think I'm going to call the police.
Yeah, I think that leprechaun's like being molested.
It must be in violation of some humanitarian code. The laws of decency.
Gotta admit,
and such.
The imagery there that we just went on to was
zombie
bad.
Unicorns.
Zombie
no,
unicorns are the
not,
worst.
Not going there. Nope.
So, you know, the trope says to hide in a mall.
Well, the trope also says you die when you do that.
Yeah, don't hide in a mall. Well, it also says don't hide like
hide in
a mall, house that's
and
not
you have
yours.
To have a chainsaw.
And you have to have somebody with a dog. So when the dog gets free, they chase after the dog and accidentally let all the zombies in.
Yeah. How else would you possibly ever die?
Somebody has to do something rash, like jumping off of like a story where they think they're okay and like break their leg.
Right. Well, and I also have to like wear high heels.
Yeah.
That's important.
We're still talking about the apocalypse, right?
Oh, No.
That's just
normal.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So speaking of surviving, there's something that I did want to point out because I learned this the other day. It's super interesting. There's this thing called protein poisoning, which is also known as rabbit starvation. It's fat starvation. So some hunters in the colonial times were hunting rabbits, and they were getting really sick and not doing well. Even though they were constantly eating protein, they were, you know, they had a really decent amount of protein. The problem was is that they didn't have any fat. There's not a lot of fat on rabbit.
I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And you have to have fat, fatty acids specifically, to break protein down. So their body literally couldn't break down the food they were putting into themselves, and they were getting violently ill. So you really have to make sure that you're maintaining a really, really good diet. A lot of people out here in Colorado, they like to make their own little veggie gardens. My mom grows kale and tomatoes and sunflowers because sunflower seeds are super, super good. And a couple other veggies, which is really good because she can just run to her backyard and grab some stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, being able to recognize what food you can forage would be important, and having some basic hunting skills, because even if you are catching rabbits, you're going to appreciate having a rabbit than not having a rabbit.
Exactly. You want that food. So, and having that balanced diet is going to be really, really good for you. Really good to have some grains.
Remember, kids.
Some veggies.
Remember
some
your food triangle during the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That
don't
food
forget.
Triangle has changed so much since I've been in school. It probably doesn't even look the
same. It's changed so much since we've been in school.
Is it, I can eat all the pocky I want and I'll be fine?
No.
Well,
yeah.
You can.
Yeah. We can. Sadly.
Yeah, here at the anime convention, the survival rations is pocky
and melon pon. I got melon pon and ramune.
Cup noodles, right?
I saw some curry seasoning, but I didn't see any like actual like cup of noodles.
Did they make curry, or there was curry roux downstairs? We could roux the day.
So Tim Curry.
No.
No, it's like tempura. It's different. So anyway, yeah, that was an interesting thing. I also, speaking of things that TIL, I learned that, there is a maximum temperature of which a maximum humidity at which human beings can exist, which is 100% humidity at 98 degrees. At that point in time, we cannot sweat anymore and we die. Even if you are completely naked and sitting in front of a fan, you will still die.
That's awful.
Yeah.
100% humidity would be rain.
No, I mean 100%.
Does it?
It's 100% at the humidity on the little barometer, not 100% humidity like rain.
Oh, okay.
Where do those?
Because the barometer doesn't work the same way as.
Come up so we can avoid those places. Like, where does this come up? Like in Texas in the rainforest?
Yeah, like in the rainforests and stuff like that.
Yeah, so don't live in the rainforest.
So there are like spots on the earth where this actually occurs. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you've got like 15 minutes to get out of it, or you will die of heat exhaustion.
Well, you see, it's one of the things with Walking Dead. They always film in the summer. And so you always see them soaked, wet, drenching. And I hear it's horrible, horribly hot there.
Because they film in Georgia, right?
Georgia, with lots of humidity. Mm-hmm. The zombies wouldn't be my problem.
No.
Yeah, we would just die.
And the bugs, too. The mosquitoes and the chiggers.
On both of those cases, that's why I don't film.
Yes.
This is exactly why I'm not on Walking Dead.
Sure, they asked and you said no, bugs.
That's why I turned them down.
I mean, better than death. So,
yeah.
Props.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's true. So there you go.
There are a lot of people who like to, they call them doomsday preppers, right? So they
yeah, it's like Discovery Channel. I can't remember.
I think so.
Or National Geographic.
It's been a while since I've watched it, but it's still on. It's very fascinating because there are people who are very adamant that an apocalypse, if it should happen, they're going to be prepared. My boyfriend Tyler calls us doomsday preppers because we have a bunch of MREs in our house.
Right.
Just because he came from a military family and he was in the military, he just got out of the army. Congrats, baby.
So if you needed X-rays, you'd have MREs in your basement.
MRE.
All right, go ahead.
MRE.
We have a ton. I've never tried one before, so.
Hey, why don't we do that?
That sounds like a plan.
We should do that.
We should broadcast that live.
I've never opened an MRE, so some of them are flammable, so we probably shouldn't do that. Like they have like little heat canisters.
They're not that flammable. Remember that these people carry them around with artillery.
Right. Right.
So it's not like they explode.
So
when you open them,
I'll have Tyler chew some and then hand them off to us so that it's safe, because that's probably the best bet.
Safe.
Yes, safe. Safety first.
Sounds like a thing. So that'll be fun.
So there are people who have like MREs. There are people who collect canned food like Spam and veggies and things like that. And they have external heat sources, like those little flames in a can that you can get for camping and camping equipment, so that they have like crock pots and kettles and things like that.
So I found the name of that television show. It's called Revolution.
Revolution.
Revolution. And there's another one.
This is
one.
From earlier.
Earlier. From the segment one.
Segment one.
A really good show. And I think they still have it on Netflix. It was called Jericho.
Yeah. Jericho was fun.
About the town, right?
Yes.
After a nuclear holocaust.
Denver gets blown.
After we got blown up.
Oh, no.
So, after we get nuked.
And
what
so
did you do
the
to my home?
The EMP blast, of course, from the nuke is shutting down stuff. And then the characters do really smart things. Like they look at it, they measure the distance from Denver to their town. They think about the wind changes. Like, okay, we have this long before the radiation hits us, so we need to start preparing for that.
Okay.
And they make really smart choices in it. The bad news is, you only get one season because it was canceled.
Yeah.
So
they tried to bring it back, but they didn't manage it.
I bet it was on Fox.
But it's still really good and worth watching. So why don't we take a break and we'll go watch an episode and we'll be right back after this.
My name is Juliet, and I'm with Dystopia Rising and the Dystopia Rising Colorado chapter. You can find us at www.dystopiarisingco.com, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
Okay, so we thought we'd end the segment with some hacks. How do you survive?
That's us, by the way.
How can you hack yourself?
I'm photobombing.
Are you photobombing?
Selfie. Not that I think she can see us, but
who knows?
Why not? Beats me.
It's us. We're photobombing. It's really funny.
It is.
So they're talking about like you can make you can use a spoon to make an arrowhead. So if you pound it flat with a rock or a hammer and file the edges to a point, then you can make an arrowhead that will pierce. If you need to.
I think somebody drove a Pierce arrow that I once knew. Oh, sorry.
You can cut up sticks a little bit better so you can shave them. You can do shavings over and over and over on the stick to make it less dense so it'll catch fire more easily.
Oh.
Which is
could
nice
probably use the shavings, too, for kindling.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you almost cut the shavings off, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
So a couple of really basic stuff that mm-hmm. you probably should do just because it's useful in life without an apocalypse happening is to know first aid. You know, pick up some basic first aid skills, how to deal with, you know, stopping bleeding from a wound, deal with setting a broken arm and splinting it. Also good to learn how to swim.
Definitely good to learn how to swim and climb. And climbing is important. Learning how to climb down as well.
Especially in a zombie apocalypse, because you don't see too many zombies that know how to climb.
No. They can run, but they can't climb.
They can't hide.
They can't hide either. I know. I've tried to get this. You know, that was one of the worst classes I ever taught, trying to teach zombies how to hide.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was not
you should learn how to tie knots, too, because you never know when that's going to come in
knots
handy.
Knots are super handy. Having a lot of rope around is really, really good.
You can also use it to pack up bags and carry things.
Yeah, to seal water containers if you need to as well. This guide, and I keep seeing this because you showed me this as well. bra cups being a mouth and nose cover in order to save people from ash and debris. It looks really weird, but like seeing photos of it, I understand why.
If it's thick enough, the padding would serve.
It's going to be weird though.
That's if you're standing outside a Home Depot and a Victoria's Secret.
At the same time.
Same time.
Again, with the mall.
You should just go to the Home Depot and get the mat.
The Home Mall
Po. Still the worst place.
You go to the mall.
This
is why you go to the mall.
And then, of course, this is just a standard thing I think every household should have. It's just a good roll of duct tape.
Yeah.
Everybody should have duct tape.
Everybody
is so versatile.
Yeah, I use it to cover blisters at band camp.
One day in band camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works. It's really, really good. It can cover bandages just to keep them sanitary. So if you got a nice gaping wound and you've covered it in bandages, if you wrap yourself in duct tape very loosely, like you don't want to cut off your circulation, right? It's going to help cover. Just remember when you rip it off that you have hair and it's coming with it.
And scabs.
Apparently you can use it to open a jar, which I'd never seen before.
That did look super cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I like that a lot. If you don't have somebody with a lot of wrist strength handy, just use some duct tape, which is cool. You can make butterfly bandages with regular bandages. You just cut the sides in half on each side so that you can wrap it a little better.
Sweet.
Which I think is a great hack to know.
That is pretty cool.
Oh, God. This is a tick puller. Oh, ticks are awful, but they're
a fact of life.
Yeah. So
and a fact
in the
of
woods,
like being out in the middle of nowhere.
So if you can make one from a plastic drinking straw, so you can cut an eye-shaped hole towards the end of a straw, large enough to fit over the tick's body, and then
that'll tick them off.
Slide it over and pull it away from you. Ugh.
I heard super glue. I don't know, of course, if you're going to have that, but it cuts off the air, and so then they try to go back out. But I honestly don't know if that works or not, or if it's going to suck more.
Yeah.
So.
It's not, like, ticks are awful no matter what. You should always go into wooded areas, like, completely covered.
It's been really long, like, back before teenage years that I had a tick, and I had it so, they caught it so quickly they didn't have to do anything other than take it off of me as a kid.
So. Well, and a lot of people have, like, tick repellent, or there's midge repellent in Scotland, again, with the Scotland stuff, because I'm in the wilderness when I'm there. So the midgey repellent, it's called, like, smidge. That's
the S midge repellent.
Ticks as well. There's something else. There's an oil that's used. I'll have to post it later. But there's an oil that you can get that they say is a really good midge and tick repellent as well. Mm-hmm. It's a standard oil that like women have.
So I remember an episode a while back, we talked about what weapon would we choose for a zombie apocalypse, and I'd recommend a crowbar because you can use it to bust open padlocks and just use it as a weapon.
Right.
This is any apocalypse, not just zombies, of course.
Okay.
Did you know your Prius, or whatever it is,
Leaf-it?
You could reverse it with, you could take it and use it as a giant battery to power as a generator?
Yeah.
With the right.
Oh, hey, that makes sense.
You have to have the right attachments for it.
Right. Well, yeah.
What are those?
That's true of just about anything.
It's a tool that has a big old belt on it, and you can.
Belt sander?
No. It's like a handle with a long belt on it. No.
Oh.
But it's really handy.
First word,
belt handle.
Second syllable.
Handle belt.
Handlebar.
The beltway.
I can't remember what it is.
Green belt.
That's really good because you can tighten something down with it and then use it to rip things off.
Come along?
Yeah.
You're talking about what people use for moving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, come along.
Yeah. That thing. You should also have a belt because belts are handy.
And belts are very handy. Rope is handy.
Pocket
belts
knives are always helpful.
Pocket
knives. Serrated pocket knives. Knives.
Knights? Yeah, carry around a
night. Carry around a night and some day. Always useful.
Apparently, there's a lot of different foods that are flammable, like Cheetos and Doritos and Fritos. So anything that has O's on the end of it is probably flammable, like Oreos. So
always
Oreos,
useful.
Cheetos, Doritos, Fritos,
Bozos.
Oh yeah, that's tasty.
Donios.
Pantyhose are probably
the big
flammable.
O's.
It's because they've got air inside them. Usually, anything that's puffed mm-hmm. carries its own oxygen source effectively.
Course, dryer lint. Yeah, that just catches on fire for people's houses normally.
Yeah, people's houses burn down because of dryer lint. So.
Moss also burns really easily. So if you live in an area with a lot of moss and can dry it out, then that burns really, really well. Yep.
Or Kate Moss.
Kate Moss, she could probably help.
Make sure
stuff.
You don't bring or you don't drink all your booze because it can be used as antiseptic.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be drinking any of it anyway because it dehydrates you and you need more water.
Mm-hmm. That would suck.
And besides, they make fun Molotovs.
Yes.
Oh, they're saying cattails are bug repellents if you light them on fire.
The tail of a cat? Am I hearing you right?
Cattail.
Oh, yeah. the vegetation. Not
the vegetation.
You don't take a cat and
not
cut his tail. That's just mean.
No, like an actual fluffy brown cattail.
Yes.
That huge weed.
Huh. My plan is to avoid areas like the swamps.
Gotcha.
Because that's where the zombies live, man.
Oh, people don't know this, but charcoal is really good for you. It's good for your skin. It's good as like a cleaning agent. It's also good as a detoxifying agent. So if you're having some really bad stomach cramps or stomach issues.
I think it's
like if you're getting an infection of zombies.
Too, right? Aren't you supposed to use charcoal to help purify it?
You can, yeah. Yeah,
not,
well.
Not like just throw it, in. You have to like
it
filter
has to flow
it.
Flow through right. it, yeah. So it has to flow through charcoal in order to be
so like
purified.
A couple of coffee filters with some charcoal between it and sealed. Mm-hmm. Then you can make some coffee.
Charcoal's really great to clean your teeth as well. They used to use charcoal to clean
and
teeth.
Baking soda.
Baking soda is always good.
Something else. Water, maybe.
Baking soda's in most toothpaste as well. So it's a nice peroxide.
Yeah.
Just make
so
sure.
I can't remember where I read it, but apparently the Rocky Mountains is one of the best places to go to if there were a zombie apocalypse. Because it's hard to traverse the mountains. Mm-hmm. And if they can't, like we mentioned, they can't climb very well.
That was our zombie plan, was just to go up to the mountains. Because we have some friends who live in Bailey, where it's difficult to get to anyway. And there's not a lot of people up there. So bye.
Yeah.
That works.
Less populated area.
Right. Right. It's really good for you. Make sure you don't get bored as well. Board games are a great thing to have.
Well, that's what
Board
you do.
Board games, card games. You know, books. Books are probably going to be a traded commodity instead of bottle caps.
Well, then you could have POG tournaments with bottle caps.
That's true. Does anybody actually still play POGs?
I have no
write
idea.
To us at.
Yeah. Do you still have POGs? Do you have POGs?
Jack.
Do you need help?
Yeah. Your wall hanger swords, for those of you who have them, are probably not going to help at all. Those things break so fast.
Right.
It's hilarious.
And what she means is the ones that you buy for $20 or $50 from online or from the mall.
Yeah. My training sword that is accurate and safe for training full steel on steel is $350. That's like the minimum.
So this is one of these weird things that bothers me with The Walking Dead, the comic book and the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Because Michonne's story is that she went next door to her neighbor's house and the teenager kid had the sword in his room, which is most likely means it's a wall hanger sword.
It could be, but like if you went to Tyler's house when he was a teenager, he has a katana and it cuts.
High quality ones.
Yeah.
So that is possible. So that, but that doesn't explain why she's so good with a sword and does poses and techniques that actually take training and don't come to you just naturally.
Yeah.
But
that's
I love
comic
her.
Book writing for yep. you. But Michonne yep. is a certified.
Let's keep hoping. She's like, okay, I lied to you. I'm really a samurai from Japan or something.
Yeah, seriously. Like I've had samurai training for forever and a day.
In a past life.
So. We want to know, what are your survival tricks? What do you do to survive in the wilderness if you go up and kind of forage on your own? Or what would you do to survive? You can always post on Facebook, Instagram. We're everywhere. And you can email us as well if you'd like at...
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Also, tell us your favorite apocalypse movie or TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be super fun because I've got to check out Jericho now.
Yeah, yeah.
But for now, let's move on to our hour.
Okay, so we're in our hour section here, and our question du jour is, what's your favorite anime TV show?
Yay!
So I'm here at
since
we're at an anime fest, what's our favorite TV show? So, Troy.
I can't remember when or where I had heard about this one. I think it was one of those back in the day when it was really hard to find any anime. Mm-hmm. It was the one that they had at like Blockbuster. So I rented it just to see what it was. I think that's how I found it. And it was so fun that I have fond memories of it. So that's,
right.
that's why it's going to have to be my favorite TV show. And that one is Ranma One-Half.
Yeah. Oh, I love Ranma.
And it's,
I will say,
after you get a ways into the series, it starts to really suffer from writing. And
yeah, Nettohen is usually a little where it slows down.
Yeah, so but it's fun. If you haven't heard of it, it's about a martial artist and his dad, who's also a martial artist, who accidentally were sparring in the springs of the cursed springs areas, which means there's various little wells. Each one is cursed by whatever died in it. So there's the cursed spring of the panda bear, cursed spring of the little girl, cursed spring of the duck, cursed spring, all these different ones. And of course, the younger one falls into the cursed spring of the drowned girl, and then the dad falls in the one of panda. And once you fall in the cursed springs, you're then cursed. Then whenever you're hit with cold water or room temperature water, you turn into whatever the curse was. So the boy then turns into the girl, and the dad turns into a panda. And then you have to find hot water to change. I think it's that. Or maybe
yep,
I got a panda.
Yeah,
that's
backwards.
Exactly right. Okay. Nope, that's exactly right.
It's so funny.
It is very funny.
And of course, you know, that's why it's called One Half. Is because Ranma is only half of a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point.
It's so sweet, though. So,
yeah. There are... I would put it at PG-13 because there's situations and things that happen that I think are a bit... Probably better if kids don't see it. Unless if you're ready to have that talk with them.
The talk that involves shampoo.
There's some really heartfelt moments in the show, though. And in the manga as well.
The situational comedy is, of course... He's ends up as a, you know, in a bathtub as a girl. Everybody thinks he's a girl, but then he turns into a boy. And then, oh no, he's in the girls' restroom and he's a boy.
My favorite thing is they have to go swimming.
Yeah.
There's an episode where they have to go to the pool and they all have to participate.
What's great is the way they find different ways to have water hit him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they always seem to materialize.
How about you, Guy?
Well, for me, I mean, I guess... I've always thought that maybe Macross was certainly my favorite, which was Robotech in English.
Mm-hmm.
But I have I mean, that's sort of a given. So I thought, I've talked about that so much, and especially we've talked about it. I thought, what was my second favorite? And running in the line of Ranma One-Half, I thought, I really loved Urusei Yatsura, which is... commonly known here in English as Lum.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
And
that's
the Tiger Stripe.
It's the Tiger Stripe Bikini Girl.
Bikini Girl.
And it's another one from Rumiko Takahashi, who did Ranma One Half.
The main character is Atari, which I remember from
Ataru.
The game system.
Ataru.
Ataru. But I say Atari because I can remember that.
That's the way you can remember
it. Ataru is this guy who lives on Earth, and this alien girl named Lum. Comes down to Earth, and they're going to invade Earth, and the only way they're going to not invade Earth is if a chosen person can beat them at their national sport, which happens to be tag. And Ataru happens to be the idiot that they choose to beat their champion, which happens to be Lum.
Aww.
At this, but Ataru is a pervert. And so what Ataru does is steals Lum's bikini. And so he ends up grabbing her horns and on top of her head. And that's how he wins the entire match and becomes the national champion and saves the Earth from being invaded. But when he does, he says, for my marriage, because he wants to marry some other girl.
Mm-hmm.
So Lum, misunderstands and says, okay, I'll marry you.
Oh, no.
So it becomes this love triangle, which, of course, you know, being a classic Rumiko Takahashi story, there has to be a love triangle. It's all confused and screwed up.
Yeah.
So
sheer coincidence.
It can't go on. So I love that series, even though it's, you know, as is typical, it's...
It's, that sounds
wrong and twisted.
I love it.
It's years and years ago, I think it was the second Nandesukan NDK, I was with an improv group and we came up with a rap, and that was one of the animes that was in the rap. I think there's a VHS tape floating around out there in the world somewhere of that, which would be awesome if somebody could put it online.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So what about you, Chelsea?
So we've already kind of talked about my favorite, because we asked what our first anime was, and mine was Cyborg 009 on Toonami, which I adore. It's one of my favorite shows. I like shorter animes that I can just watch in a couple sittings and they're done.
Yeah, don't watch Urusei Yatsura then.
Yeah, I really like bookend series, you know what I mean? I like the British miniseries, and so I like stories that you can just dive into and come out with the story intact.
Right.
Toradora is a school anime about two classmates, one who is feared, she is a tiny tiger, she is mean, she is rah, 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 rah. And one very shy student who becomes her best friend because he cooks for her and he cares for her because her parents have just left her all alone. And it's very, very sweet. And it's about a group of friends. I think it's about two seasons, I believe. But it's a super sweet story. And I just enjoyed it from start to finish. It's so cute and so easy to watch over and over again. Unlike a series like Inuyasha that has how many freaking episodes now?
Inuyasha, another Rumiko Takahashi story. Which goes on. So 60 zillion, zillion things.
So speaking of anime, some news. They approved the next season of Fully Cooly for Adult Swim.
As if Gynax's weirdest, strangest things are never coming back. Gynax, which is the weirdest studio in the world anyway, brings out the weirdest anime ever.
I loved it, though. It was so strange.
Oh, yeah, it's great, but it is like, bizarre.
Yeah.
Cootie Cootie is very, very strange.
I love it.
Yeah, don't watch it expecting to understand anything.
Yeah, no, you won't.
No, just watch it for fun. Just enjoy the ride.
Watch it and go, yes, and just nod. Okay, well, tell us what your favorite anime series is, and you can tell us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Well, that's our show for today.
I'd like to thank all the zombies for being in our show.
And I'd like to thank all the people who are making apocalyptic jokes like there's no tomorrow.
Well, I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 328.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade.
I'm Mike Davis. End of line. Good night.